Pete, you know, we were talking about books and sort of back in the day and all of that sort of stuff. You find that social culture does get moulded by social engineering to a large degree. And maybe there's a good reason why they've been trying to get rid of people's wanting to read books and things like that. And maybe it's because books contain knowledge. Have you noticed how much mainstream attention there is to actually focus people and tell them, look, it's a very important thing to gain lots of knowledge? No, not at all.
Well, this is sort of one of those conspiracy theories. I honestly think the way that I understand things is it's more processes than plans, which is, in a way, it's alarming, you see. I noticed that I've been listening to the adverts. Things, a lot of it is about that there is a group who are planning the thing. Well, I think what's really
everything's planned. Like
the world
even
is a bit
sales
out of control. Mm. See what I mean?
And advertising,
for example,
sales and advertising, for example. You know, they use the three base principles on you. It's either sex, fear, or impulse. You know, kind of instant gratification. It's the only three things and tactics that they use. And advertising is remarkably simple when you boil it down to those three principles. Manipulating people's not really that hard. And because people who are adept at manipulation often rise through the ranks of massive companies who have huge advertising divisions, it's not entirely conspiracy theorist-esque to assume that bad people have gotten control of the media and are basically pumping everybody full of poison. It seems very self-evident, because the difference between a conspiracy theorist, whom I believe the definition is a person who believes that powerful people who have a lot of influence use their power to maintain their influence, versus a coincidence theorist who thinks everything happens by sheer coincidence. There's no such thing as backroom deals, no such thing as corruption.
No, really, I'm not saying that people in power are not doing all these bad things. What I'm sort of getting at is that if you take something like a government, you see, it's actually made up, say, of, I don't know, it might be made up of 50,000 individuals. It's a huge amount of people. It's a huge machine. And I don't know who you've got in your personal contact. Like, for instance, I know people who work in the government, British government. I know people who work in other governments. They're people like you and me. You see, this is the thing. It's the sort of machine is doing the things. If you took
Machines are made and designed, are they not? There is a creator to machines.
Yeah, but it's not like it's an individual, you see. It's more like...
Well, you can point to certain individuals, certain groups of individuals, known organizations, things of that nature that are the power centers. I mean, I'd probably say if you had to pick one organization that really is one of the core power centers, it would have to be the Bank of International Settlements. They control the IMF and World Bank and hence the UN and all of these different global programs where huge quantities of money is centered. And they have the capacity to draw on unlimited funds and literally create them out of thin air, much like the Federal Reserve System does. And it's all part of that same central banking network. So if you had to pinpoint, you know, the center, like if you had a center of influence that spreads out in all these different eclectic ways, can you name me a single sector of modern society that exists in the civilized world that does not revolve around and involve huge amounts of money? So obviously the person in charge of the tap that turns on that money is basically in charge of all the
government. Can I give you a counter example, which would be if we take the recent the housing loans disasters which bankrupted America and then had the ripple effects on everywhere else. And if we look at that, you see, certainly some people are making lots of money from it. You know, there were clearly some powerful individuals were doing things which we might say were really not very principled of them. But leave them aside, there are a lot of people just doing ordinary things. Like, for example, they wanted to buy a house, they couldn't afford it. Someone said, I'll loan you the money. Do you see what I mean? You've got all these large numbers of people involved creating, eventually, a situation which has resulted in effects, which you might say the effects are that a lot of people in the lower states, you know, the people who are weaker in society got hit and got worse off. While most of the people at the top actually making money, they're still making money from this disaster. You see, as you say, there is a sort of, you could look at it as a conspiracy, but I don't think that would really explain it. That's all I'm getting at. If you think of it as a plot,
the thing is, you can't come up with one explanation for a huge, overarching, all-encompassing problem, because that's just far too simplistic. Because there's lots of inputs, there's lots of outputs, there's lots of unknowns, there's lots of admitted evidence, and lots of documents and things like that that have been released to the public. Jesse Ventura, for example, former Navy SEAL and governor of the state of Minnesota, released a book not too long ago called 63 Documents the Government Does Not Want You to Read. And basically, that's all what's going on all over the place. And I've had activists on from all over the world who expose the symptoms of this corruption. And some of them go to the core of the corruption. And basically, what it seems to be is a eugenics agenda. You know, not entirely dissimilar from how the Nazis wanted to do. And the royal families, the major families of Europe that have been the landowners and basically the owners of the vast majority of the world's wealth since Napoleon, have still wound up everywhere in the power centres and maintain their control all this time. Even the presidents of the United States are not immune. There was this 14-year-old girl who, for a high school science project, decided to do the genealogy on Barack Obama. And normally with genealogy trees, they only go down the name, so it'll basically be on the father's side always, because the mother will take the father's name in marriage. So what she did is she did the mother's and the father's down the genealogy tree. And she found out that every single president of the United States, from George Washington to Obama, is very closely related and all descendants of one French king. Now, a 14-year-old can work that out, and it's getting reported on mainstream news. Why is it not common knowledge? Because it seems to me the archetypal textbook case of a black nobility, a secret bloodline, basically a secret family that is all intermarried and interbred, who have through the generations been passed down this great promise that they will one day rule the world slowly but surely.
Yes. I can't comment on that, having not seen the details, but I can imagine that someone, let's just suppose that someone said, what it is there's a special gene that makes people exceptionally good at ruling. And then people would accept it if it was put that way. So thank goodness
that
we've been electing
the
right people, they'd say.
It's the belief that some people's genes are inherently inferior, whereas modern science and nutrition and I think it was reported by the I think New Zealand's best naturopath, Dr. David Holden, he found out that you can actually change some genetic abnormalities and eliminate genetic disorders and diseases from your DNA chains and deactivate them through diet. And what the eugenicists believe is that it's kind of like the who was it? There's some kind of religion. I'm not sure if it was Quakers or something like that. But they have this belief that we're all going to hell, or it's got predetermination. So it doesn't matter what you do here on this earth or whatever. You can't change what is.
Well, Well, it has that's a slight tangent, but in fact, that's in the that is in the Catholic religion. That in fact, when you look at the Catholic religion, it says that very, very few people are supposed to go to heaven. I think it's a 90 or something like that, which you can see is not going to cover anyone except for the few presidents that you mentioned, directly descended from the King of France.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the Vatican has a lot of interest in banking. They also own Westpac Bank, which in New Zealand here does all the government's banking, which our recent Justice Minister, Simon Power, he left Parliament and the next day was appointed CEO of Westpac Bank after passing a whole bunch of draconian legislation and wiping away people's rights to jury trials and so forth.
Well, what I'm being a bit sceptical about is you take these people that do become, for example, Tony Blair became Prime Minister of Britain. But what you're describing is that these people in some sort of special route back to blah, blah. But I think they're just nobodies, you see, these people. They sort of get placed into position. I'd say...
Well, do you remember we were talking about dependents earlier, and these people who are servants of the New World Order, they're just as dependent on them as you or I are. Like, they can be X'd out at any moment if they don't follow the plan or if they have an attack of conscience or something
Who is doing that when you say that? Do you mean it's individual?
You have command structures. With command structures, it's important to conceal an operation with compartmentalization. This is what they used during the Manhattan Project, where they had 100,000 scientists involved. It's called a need-to-know basis. If you are going to be recruited into an organization that is secret, particularly a Cecil Rhodesian type secret society. When Cecil Rhodes died, you know, that's what Rhodesia was named after. He was the wealthiest man on earth, and he wrote up 7 wills, only one of which has been ever disclosed to the public, and that's to set up the Rhodes Scholarship, which is an incredibly wealthy foundation that recruits the best and the brightest and the sharpest minds and brings them in. Now, you're familiar with alumni and how education systems and old boys networks and Freemasonry and things of that nature, different organizations where people will join, and there's a certain amount of networking that goes in, a certain amount of, like, we know what's going on to a more or lesser degree than the rest of the public does, kind of a slight elitism, and universities are like that as well, with the doctors and the lawyers and the training. They're told by their tutors that you're the smartest and brightest, you've got the A's and all that kind of thing. It creates is kind of this inherent elitism, and that inherent elitism that's being permeated throughout the majority of society a lot of the time connotes that the rest of the people would trust them, kind of respect them in areas of fiduciary responsibility, like a judiciary and law and doctors and so forth. People trust these people, politicians or whatever, because they're supposed to be there in positions of trust, right? Now, that works really well for a recruiting standpoint of a secret society as well, because you get people who are not only trusted by their communities and have titles like Sir and what have you, but they also have a hell of a lot to lose should they say something wrong. And usually with methods of... initiation, you have to say pledges, for example, in even the first degree of Freemasonry, you have to be blindfolded and swear that you won't release any secrets of the Brotherhood lest you be cut from ear to ear kind of thing, or buried up to your neck in sand at the low tide mark. You know, just really, really kind of horrific stuff just in order to pass through the first gate before you know anything. And then there's 3 rings. Within each ring, there's a certain amount of people. Let's say the first ring is 10 people. Each of those 10 people discuss and make plans up high or whatever. And each of those 10 people knows 100 people that's in a ring outside them. That 100 people is not aware that there's a ring of 10. They think it's just this one guy. And each of those 100 people knows 1,000 people. Those 1,000 people don't know about the other 100 people. They think there's just that one guy. So it makes organizations really capable of concealing their operatives within them for very long periods of time and have maintained their power and secrecy. And it's been going on for quite some time. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. My very special guest is Martin Cohen, who's a fabulous philosopher. And we've been talking about secret societies and conspiracy and how conspiracy can actually and does actually work and is indeed admitted. And like David Rockefeller says in his memoirs, right, it's a great quote. What was it? Something about people have accused me of being part of a secret network and cabal plotting to destroy the United States and to instill a one-world government. And if that's the charge, then I am guilty and I am proud of that fact. David Rockefeller's own memoirs. These people know precisely what's going on. Do you have any idea how much influence the Rockefeller Foundation and all of these other tax-free funding things that they have? They're into vaccines, pharmaceuticals, military, banking, oil, everything. And same with all these other families. Basically, the very tenderhooks of society that control the economic output, you know, issuance of currency, oil, resources, land, things of that nature. They've owned them for quite some time, and the rest of us are only just starting to realise the fact that we've all gotten really, really badly in debt because of these guys. They've been creating money out of nothing, and now they own everything because they were capable of buying real assets with fake money, and only now are people starting to realise the great scam of the banking system and realise how easily we were just taking control over. You know, it's like, how much does it cost to bribe the whole Congress, the whole Senate? It actually only costs about $300 million a year. It's nothing. And then you've got control of the most powerful country and the most powerful military in the world. Hey, mate, it's incredible. And it makes sense all of a sudden why all this crazy legislation is getting passed. It's because the people passing it don't have any idea what it's heading towards. They're just taking the money and taking the orders. And they have no idea what's going on whatsoever, no more than the rest of us. They think they're in the know. But I found it's with most people who think that they know everything, obviously know nothing. And the people who think that they know nothing usually know enough. Martin Cohen, welcome back. I'd like you, if you... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You were saying before you said we should think about something positive about the way the world's going.
Well, yes, that was what I was going to segue into.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you lead on that.
Well, the positive thing is, despite the fact that we know, or at least evidence and documented fact has proven that beyond reasonable doubt that there's scumbaggery of all forms, corruption, blah blah blah, poisons everywhere, radiation, la 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 la, all of these bad things, right? But the fact of the matter is, the solutions to the biggest problems are usually the simplest, don't you think? For example, if your own health is important to you, take care of it. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? And there are a lot of herbs and different foods and raw veggies and things like that that you can use to get all of those so-called thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of poisons that are bombarding us all the time. And we can suddenly become immune to it all because we're healthy enough to fight it off. The same is true of your mind. And I see the mainstream media, propaganda and the politicians and all their poisonous legislation merely as a virus that's the awareness of it. If you're aware of this bad stuff going on, it really does act like a virus on you. When you're under attack by a virus, your immune system is stressing your body out. You're devoting a lot of energy into fighting off that danger. And a lot of people need to realize that danger's always been there. Just because you're now aware of it doesn't mean the situation's changed at all. You're actually still basically free or whatever. But what it connotes is that your awareness means that you're responsible for both acting and making others aware of it as well. Just as somebody passed the information on to you, you are to pass it on to others. At least that's what I believe. The natural equilibrium of all life is about giving back what you take. And if somebody takes the time to sit down and have a chat with you and share with you some information, it is then basically an obligation to take that and give it to somebody else as a gift.
Right.
It's so easy, and everybody can do it.
But what forum is that, take that exchange, do you see it as occurring in?
What? Yeah, I see it occurring in all forums. Are you familiar with the Taurus? It's an energy. It's an energy structure. Basically, it's sort of like a vortex around a toilet roll, okay? Inside the toilet roll, there's a vortex coming up that just pushes all out, and then it goes up and around the side of the toilet roll and comes back down underneath and then pushes up and then out again. And it's a perfect cycle of energy. And that works economically as well. For example, if you invest in people, if you invest in your life and your well-being, that energy gets pushed up and then it starts to grow and then it starts to come around and give you even more to push out. And it keeps working like that. Same with economics, same with your social relationships. If you give a lot of good energy to people, it starts to come around and come back to you and allow you to put even more positive energy out. Same with research, same with everything. It's a symphony of perfection that the Taurus actually notes. Pardon?
Is it sort of perpetual motion, but with energy that you're describing there?
Well, it's actually it's the natural structure of all cells, of all atoms, of all everything, basically. That's what everything is structured on in the entire universe. All energy in the universe flows in that exact same signature. It works on the small scale as well as the large scale. And we've only just now discovered this, of course. But in ancient cultures, they knew of the Taurus as well. And there's things that are very sophisticated, that are etched onto ancient ruins and things like that, that have the exact same structure of spheres and what have you, that have the Taurus 3D modeling, okay? Like 3D models in ancient structures of electron behavior. That's kind of what we found now. And it's an old school knowledge. And it's all over the place in, crop circles as well. The Taurus signatures are popping up all over the place. 3D, 2D, the same flow signatures, turning round in circles and pushing up and then fading back down. The exact same thing's repeated all over. And it's basically the structure of everything. And the more in line with the structure you are of everything, the more harmonious and the more prosperous you or that structure will be. And what's happening nowadays is that natural structure of the universe of us giving and receiving in kind is now just being taken and taken and taken. And it's basically got us all out of sync with the rest of the world. And we're struggling to catch up. And it's about coming back to how things really should be, how things are naturally structured. And regardless of how big conspiracy or anything like that is, it doesn't matter.
Well, why would
because be simplicity
getting,
is all there.
We were supposed to be saying why things are getting better, but what you're describing makes it sound like things are getting worse, as though the people have got worse. Like you refer to ancient inscriptions. But we know there were really awful things that went on, like with the Mayas. They had these awful rituals involving the slaughter of thousands of people.
Well, you know, and thousands of people, in fact, 200 million people got slaughtered in the 20th century due to their own governments, most of
that's
which
right.
passed...
That's what I was saying. Do you think people are getting worse? Because that's No. We were talking about some good news, you know, or might be encouraging
Have you noticed how the natural principle of physics is that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction? So the fact that things are getting worse is really good. You know why? Because it means all the goodness and greatness in this world will rise up to oppose whatever evil, whatever badness, and everything that has always happened, okay? You never need to worry about it, because that's actually the lesson of history. Evil rises up, and then good rises up to vanquish it, and always wins, every single time. And what these people have thought about, just like every elite throughout history, is that their hubris protects them from judgment, that their hubris protects them from being mortal. It doesn't. They're just men, and they can be overthrown like any other by ordinary people like you and me.